It was a senseless act of violence. It was a cold and calculated crime that stole a life and put New Yorkers at risk.
That is New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch speaking on Luigi Mangione, who is the person accused of killing the United Healthcare CEO. I think you all recall that. It's a story that we've been following for a couple of weeks now. Well, there are new charges against him. We go to the Quiver River Electric guest line this morning, and we welcome in Anna Schechter, who is the CBS Crime and Public Safety Unit Leader, with us on KMOX. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing well. So go ahead and tell us about these new charges that Luigi Mangione are facing.
Well, 11 counts now. So that's 10 new charges. This is a big deal. We knew about a second degree murder charge last week, but a grand jury in New York brought down 11 counts, including first degree murder, two second-degree murder charges, one of which connected to terrorism, and then multiple other weapons charges and a charge related to his forged identification card that he used to check into that hostel. Most importantly is that first-degree murder charge. In New York City, that is usually reserved only for the most heinous crimes and or a killing of a police officer or other law enforcement officer. So it's a big deal. And it just means that Alvin Bragg presented enough evidence to a grand jury that the grand jury said, yeah, you can probably get a conviction on this. You have enough evidence to charge this crime.
Jessica, a bit surprised that you said the biggest charge here is the first degree murder. I think I would have thought that the addition of in furtherance of terrorism would have maybe compounded the punishment in a way that first degree murder wouldn't. Like, doesn't that terrorism charge carry an enormous amount of weight?
Well, it does, and it means life without parole. So that gives those prosecutors the opportunity to get life without parole. So that's unique. And at the press conference yesterday with Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, it was unusual to have Rebecca Weiner, who is the counterterrorism czar with the NYPD. She was present and she spoke and justified that charge given the time of day, the intent, the fact that he had premeditated writings, planning this. And she said that his aim was to sow fear and terror in everyday New Yorkers, so regular citizens, as well as tourists who were there. The fact that he did it on a busy Manhattan street in the morning, midweek, all of that factored in to their decision to go for that terrorism-related charge.
Would there be difficulty in getting a conviction on that? Because here's what I'm wondering. There was, I'm imagining this is still probably an act of terror, even though it almost seemed like the crime was committed not to instill fear in the public, but in powerful people instead. So CEOs of companies and in particular insurance companies. Would it be then difficult to prove?
That's a good question. I mean, if you think about 9/11, the airplane going into the Twin Towers, an act of terrorism. Here, you also had this showmanship. So he had Monopoly money in his backpack that was found. Investigators believe he might have had the idea to sort of sprinkle it around the body. He wrote these words, deny, delay, depose, on the shell casings and the bullets. He was doing some of it for show, and what the prosecutors and the investigators who worked on this case and who worked closely with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, what they're going for is that showmanship that falls in line with terrorism. And they're going to have to convince a jury. And, you know, yesterday a reporter asked an interesting question. With all this upswelling of support for Mangione on social media, people just enraged by the insurance business, do you think you're going to get a conviction? And the team answered, well, they have so much evidence placing him at the scene of the crime, they do believe that they will get it.
And with a terrorism charge, it's, as you mentioned, to instill fear. Also, isn't there that political motivation, like with the Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh wasn't trying to kill American citizens. He was an anti-government terrorist. He was trying to instill fear in the government. Wouldn't that be kind of that same idea as instilling fear in CEOs?
Well, yeah, I mean, a government and CEOs are totally different. But in the Unabomber, I mean, injured severely and killed many civilians. So it's a good point. They might not get the conviction, but they're going to go for it. I think it seems that their strategy was to go for the biggest and the most charges that they could get a grand jury to bring down. And I think that Mangione's attorney that he just hired is going to try to go for not guilty by reason of insanity, chiefly because she said so on a cable chat network before she was hired. So that sort of gives us a little bit of a clue of where her head was at. That might have changed now. The extradition hearing isn't until tomorrow, so we'll be learning a lot more in the coming weeks.
How common is it in a case like this, or in any murder case, to have a first-degree murder charge, but then also a couple of second-degree murder charges on the same crime?
Oh, it's very common. Okay. But because there's only one victim, I guess it's maybe not as common as, like, when you have, like, a shooting, you have charges for each and every victim, including victims who were injured and even people nearby who might have been injured. Prosecutors can do a lot there. But here, look at all the evidence. The reason they can bring all of this is you had his writings. You had him homing in on the CEO. You had him calling them parasites. You had his writing. Maybe he was going to use a bomb, and then he decided to use a gun. All of this is sort of bolstering what they can do. You have so much surveillance footage showing him lying in wait. You know, like if he had pulled the trigger and just injured him, you know, that would be one thing. But the fact that he fired the shot and then saw Thompson, the victim, sort of staggering and then fire again in the back of his calf, it appears he took three shots in that surveillance footage that I have reviewed. I mean, it's in such cold blood and so callous and so, you know, when you have all that evidence, it gives prosecutors the edge or the leg up to throw the book at the perpetrator.
CBS Crime and Public Safety Unit Leader Anna Schechter, we appreciate your time and for covering this. Thank you for joining us today on KMOX.
Happy to be here.
That is Anna Schechter with CBS News. We will, when we come back, you know, we probably should have billed this right off the top because this is a big one.
Big one!
It's a big one, baby. Former Blues defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk just announced his retirement about a week or so ago, and he is going to join us next on KMOX. But in order to watch that interview, which you can stream on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX,